Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did, until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Ken.
And we are from the Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia-style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that, because you're already listening to a podcast.
Welcome everyone to the Film Vault. That is Anderson. I'm Brian Bishper, hosts for today. Ooh, just in time for the summer season, in time for Memorial Day weekend, if you're listening to this right away. Top 5 barbecue scenes. Top 5 barbecues.
Yes, that's exciting. Right. Barbecue also, scenes. A lot of them. You actually came up with this topic a few months ago, and then we decided to push it, right?
Indeed, and also appropriate with the new Fast and Furious movie coming out, because I don't think any franchise has ever leaned as heavily on the barbecue.
I see a lot of barbecue representation in doing my research for barbecue scenes. Yes, you're correct in that, Brian. Nothing says America more like a barbecue, right?
There you go. Family.
Or family. It's a gathering of the family, so it makes sense. Mm. Can you imagine whoever came up with that when they wrote that scene? They're like, this is perfect. It's all just coming together.
I mean, they're a family, and they're at a family cookout.
I mean, we're all going to be able to appreciate this and recognize this and be able to relate to this because it's American.
That's right.
It doesn't really... We're talking about Fast X again? What are we doing? But does it lean into like what it is to be? Like, is there a lot of stuff talking about America? Because, I mean, it's right there, right? But it doesn't really seem to go down that path. Is this like a liberal version of that?
No, it's liberal. Fairly apolitical. I mean, I guess it appeals more to, you know, muscle car enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. But at this point, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. It feels fairly apolitical. The movie takes place mostly in Rome.
Remember how I talked about how we kind of screwed listener Nick Eats Cake out of his pick, which was a girl, because now it's Matt Rixner's pick, and will forever be thought of as Matt Rixner's pick. Not only did I screw him there, but I screwed him last episode by not officially assigning you Nick Eats Cake's new pick, which is Beanpole, which is another movie I've been told to see for a number of years now. So we will be seeing Beanpole for Nick Eats Cake. It is available, I forget where. It's available streaming somewhere.
Showtime,
I think. So you can get your little 7-day, or you already have Showtime if you're like excited because Dexter came back. Dexter came back, and I didn't hear one person talk about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you can also rent Beanpole across multiple platforms.
Thank you very much. And then, Brian, real quick,
hey.
I have a feeling I know how this is going to go and where this is going to go, but in case you were not aware and you're curious, because I know you're making a documentary, on last week's Loaded for Bear, Let's Make This Movie episode, which is part of this feed now, Brian, I sat by myself for 20 minutes on that particular episode talking about the 6 different modes of documentaries and what that means. Are you familiar with the different modes of documentary?
I'm not even 100% sure what documentary is.
Different types of documentaries.
No, tell me.
I'm not going to go into it, but I mean, if you're interested, I'm on there discussing it. So
extemporaneously, just off the top of your head.
No, of course not. I did a bunch of research, and I credited the guy Nichols who came up with it.
Not with anyone else.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I sit down and I'm like, let's keep this to 15 minutes. Next thing you know, it's like I look over and it's 22 minutes. Like I'm still talking about, but it's usually pointed. It's not like I'm just hoping that something comes up, right? Bill Burr style. I don't have that in me, but yeah, I try and make it educational. And then most recently, it was the 6 different types of documentaries that have been identified by a very smart documentary theorist.
Can you just tell me the 6?
No, I can't. But I can tell you that they're all represented and talked about. You might learn something, Brian.
I'm trying to give you a tease here. A plug.
No, you want me to do the episode. Spend 20 minutes doing it.
Name the 6 and then describe them each briefly.
Mm-hmm.
If you could. Right now.
So, what's your criteria here? I almost really... Okay.
How do you involve grilling meat?
Talking about barbecues. that's a good criteria. grilling and meat should be. However, you know what? I don't know if I can be there for all of my six, all of my five. I think one of mine actually might not have any meat being grilled.
One of mine shows no food at all. So is your, is anyone's guess what? I also dug deep for one of mine. Deep pull.
Deep. Well, what does that mean? Like you looked harder than you did for the others?
No.
Or?
Well, I thought of it actually right away, but I'm like, oh, but this is, there's no one else is going to have this.
Is that why it's on your list? Because I find myself almost being guilty of that sometimes where it's like, is this only on your list because it's a, like you had to dig real deep and you're proud of yourself, or does it belong here?
You know me all too well.
I'm sure I've been guilty of it, but I don't think I try not to, because I identify it as what it is and I try and expel it. You know what
are
I mean?
Are all of yours barbecues you personally would like to attend?
I mean, look who you're talking to. Yeah, I will attend anything for a story or to, like, you know, meet interesting people or to retell what I experienced. Okay. So yes, there's nothing I wouldn't not want to be at.
There's some of mine I very much do and some I very much do not.
Hmm. Okay, what I thought for sure was going to be my number one, I couldn't place them. And this is kind of interesting. Maybe this has to do with getting old. I don't know. From the moment that you brought this up, a number of weeks ago, I'm like, I know what my number one is. I just got to figure out what movie that is.
Okay, what happens?
Turns out it's not a movie, and there's no visual representation of the actual scene other than Eddie Murphy wearing a red leather matching top and bottom, telling the story of, now that's a fire. And that, in my head, was the funniest barbecue scene I've ever seen, because I visualize it and I saw it at such a young age and I still think of that barbecue
pin
scene.
Pin the picture in your mind.
With his, Eddie Murphy's
delirious.
Family. Yeah.
Raw.
It's delirious.
Okay.
It was the first one. But that played out so I could picture the character. I just couldn't place the faces. I couldn't even place Eddie Murphy's face.
It lived in your mind.
It lived in my mind. And I'm like, I can't wait to find this scene. And then it just kept being delirious. I'm like, I guess that I just invented that as a movie because it was so deep in my mind from seeing this so long ago. So
is this ultimately a disappointing list for you?
Almost put it on the list, though. But I'm like, you know what? IMDb calls it a TV special. I think that I can't do that. I can't have that as a top five scene. Good list. I'm proud of my list. You?
Same. I think I might have one crossover.
How many clips you got?
Just one.
Well, you need to send it to me.
I did.
Oh, there it is. All right.
There's at least one movie you have not seen on my list. One movie I think maybe I signed you years ago. And then one movie we both recently saw.
Oh no. That might be the crossover. All right, let's get to this. I'm kind of excited now.
All right. You want to dive in?
Yes.
Unfortunately, the one I alluded to is the number five.
I didn't push record. We should also mention that Avery is not here. He got confused somehow. He thought that we were doing something to do with ladies. Like, he thought we were doing B cup. What do you think?
Top five, big busty queens.
Yeah, but we're like, no, dude, it's all about the dudes and the grill.
BBQ means barbecue. And
yeah.
He's like, oh, okay.
No, he didn't. He didn't hear that. He was already out the door.
No, I told you. He's like, oh,
he left us.
Just in case.
So I'm pushing the buttons poorly over here. I don't like it not having Avery here. Doesn't feel like we're actually doing a show. You know what I mean? Really? I just feel like I'm visiting you.
I like it a lot more.
It feels
intimate.
It feels like a show when we have somebody yawning next to us. You know what I mean?
We have someone tuning out just next to us.
Tuning up. I mean, it always happens with every producer that anyone ever has. Like, no matter how
scintillating
or titillating the show can be, like, they're going to be bored if they're not, especially if they're performers, which Avery is. Like, remember how quickly Logan got super bored with the show?
Almost before I started.
And I remember, like,
and then he went on to produce for 7 more years.
Defending me, maybe 8. Defending myself with Adam and Drew back in the day, like, and even before them, Pharrell, like, oh, I'm not bored. And they would get mad. And now Erica, all these, I feel it. It's painful. But what can you do?
It's ubiquitous, universal.
Speaking of which, I would like to real quick just ask Kayla to wake up, please. Brought to my attention that a listener as a wife who falls asleep to this program.
Oh.
So Kayla, wake up!
Kayla, come on, step to it.
Yeah. All right, what's your number five?
Kids are on fire and the house is missing.
Oh, but the show is on fire because it's scintillating, as Brian suggested. Let's go! Barbecues!
Speaking of fire.
Let's do barbecues,
Number five for me.
That's a fire!
Number five for me is a film we recently saw together.
Mm-hmm.
Where's
this on my list? Because I might just move it. Yeah, it's my number five as well, Brad.
All right, Final Destination 2.
That's right.
I don't know if this counts as a spoiler, but it is the final scene of the film. So let's just skirt around it by saying...
Well, I mean, anyone who watches it who remembers you saying, as soon as the movie's about to end, it's the last scene, and they see there's a barbecue, they'll know.
It doesn't come as a surprise.
It does not come as a surprise. I mean, that's not the point of Final Destination, right?
No, far from it.
There are a lot of misdirects moments before. They'll, like, you know, have like four or five setups that don't pay off until the sixth one does pay off. But, I mean, there's an implosion at the... It makes no sense at all.
A perfectly pleasant backyard barbecue was ruined when a...
young boy.
Untimely explosion kills a young boy, launching his charred, dismembered arm onto his mother's plate.
Yeah, he exploded from inside. So for that to be have actually happened, somehow this what they don't talk about is he was obviously keistering the gas tank, the right? Like when no one was looking, he was like, let's see if I could fit this thing like on my shirt maybe. Or like maybe what's it feel like to be pregnant?
That's right.
Oh, I'll try this.
Yeah, right in the belly button.
Yeah. Because he exploded from the inside, which is comical. Those movies are comical, right? They're supposed to be funny.
I think they're supposed to be, yes, I enjoyed the laugh.
Well, we're going to just skip right through this a little bit too quick, Brad, right? Because that's my number five as well. What's your number four? Oh. Don't yawn.
It's my clip.
It is?
Clip. Number four for me, my deep pull.
I'm just cute. Tell me how to do my job, all right?
Overnight, the documentary about Troy Duffy, the maker, the writer, the auteur behind Boondock Saints. The subtitle, Anderson, tells us that we're at the, quote, film deal barbecue. This is where Troy has signed his film deal with Miramax Pictures, and now he's looking to cast his film, and he has a barbecue in the backyard with all of his hooligan friends, and Mark Wahlberg is there, and John Goodman is there, and they stick out like sore thumbs, but Mark Wahlberg is there ostensibly to talk about the role, talk about the movie, perhaps being involved in Boondock Saints, as maybe if you're aware of how the film turned out.
Right.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
But
you're spoiling your first two movies you've discussed so far. So.
What's that?
What's that?
Oh, spoil Boondock Saints?
I don't know if you need to.
By saying that Mark Wahlberg is not in it.
I have something I want to talk to you about, but I don't want to cut you off because it's such a, you've done so much lead up to your clip. So let's get to that. And then
so
I'm talk
here
to you.
Is the clip at the end of the barbecue. The filmmakers pull Mark Wahlberg aside and do an interview with him. This last 30 seconds, Anderson, see how many times do you think Mark Wahlberg utters the phrase, you know, in 30 seconds?
Are we going to count?
Over, under.
30 seconds, six.
Okay, let's hear it.
We talked a lot. I basically was interested in, you know, where he came up with these ideas, you know, how he was, you know, just up and coming and still felt strongly about going out and first and foremost making a good movie, you know, because that's what intrigues me. I think even a lot of the older and much more established and even acclaimed directors are losing their edge, you know. And I think it takes somebody young and in touch with the shit to really be able to tell the stories, you know? And he's obviously on the right page, so.
Oh, I nailed it.
Nailed it with six. That's one every 5 seconds.
That's prime example of one that doesn't deserve to be on the list.
No, the barbecue scene is funny, seeing like...
You can't even see that they're at a barbecue, really. It's just...
Well, not in that particular clip. That's at the end of the barbecue. The barbecue precedes that, and you see... Mark Wahlberg interacting awkwardly with Troy Duffy and all of his goons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. John Goodman doesn't want to be there. It's fun.
You know.
Yeah.
You know. Six times. All right. Well, you know, people have number six. I bet you if he was asked the exact same question today, he would probably not say, you know, at all. I bet he's probably found
probably
a new word.
Be the exact same way.
I doubt it.
You know.
How much fun was he in that movie that we just watched?
What movie did we watch?
The 90s movie. Shouldn't have brought that up because we're both drawing a blank. It was the action movie. It was like a comedy, really.
Oh, yeah. The Big Hit.
The Big Hit. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
He was peak Marky Wahlberg.
He might have chosen that over.
Could be.
Boondock Saints.
I wonder if it lines up.
Because that was his first movie after Boogie Nights.
You know. I know. All right, let's move on with the list. Oh, here's what I want to talk to you about, and I will forget. I have a lot on my mind, and you know, I bust your balls a lot, and I can cut that. I'm in charge, so I can cut this out if you don't want to talk about this. But have you talked to like a doctor about the voice and how you're sounding more like Poindexter than you ever have in your life?
That is funny. No, I have not talked to a doctor.
You
about
should
that.
Bring that up because I hear it and I talk to you, you know, regularly, and I can tell it. It's the people who see you every day won't notice, but the people who see you like once a week, like I do, and hear you once a week, Like, you sound much more different just recently. Weird, so yeah. I don't know if something's going on in there.
No, it's funny because it's typically when I'm reading or when I'm looking down. If I was looking up at
either
you,
way,
it wouldn't be much of an issue.
Well, you see how like you used to look down before, unless that's a new thing. You've never looked down before and talked.
What do you mean?
I'm saying that you've always looked down and talked, you've never made that sound. So it's still something that you might want to get looked at.
It's weird though, because I had COVID in 2021, I think. Mm-hmm. And ever since, my nose has been running a lot, which you've observed. And it recently stopped. Like, it finally stopped running every day, all day. And maybe it coincides. Maybe my nasal passages are opening up.
With a sniff. That was probably the most appropriate sniff you've ever done.
Most well-timed sniff.
All right, number four for me is a fun one. It is not just vacation. It's National Lampoon's Vacation, Brian. 1983, if you recall, the
Cousin
whole family
Eddie.
Is back there. Cousin Eddie. Now, this is my pick that I don't know if any meat is actually being cooked, because I have the clip, but I don't know if it's really an appropriate place to play it, because it kind of goes on and on. Now I kind of wish I had it. Anyways.
But Hamburger Helper is served.
Hamburger Helper, right, which he's Cousin Eddie says, I don't even it doesn't really need the hamburger at all. Well, it helps itself. It's just fine by itself. So I don't know if there's any meat in the Hamburger Helper. It's like noodles and stuff and powder, right? I don't know. It's been a number of years since I used that Hamburger Helper.
It's kind of Sloppy Joe-esque, what they're eating in the movie.
But I don't think there's an actual like patty or meat involved.
I agree.
And then Vicky, who is, I guess, Eddie's daughter, is in there. And she's just stirring
the lemonade
with her whole. Is this on your list? Or
no.
Okay, you just remember.
I'm familiar with the scene.
Because you probably saw it this week. And she's stirring, and he's asking her to stop. Vicky, could you please stop with the stirring? Very, very good. And
Aunt Edna comes.
And then she's the second half of that scene, which I wouldn't have played because she just comes out and she's rude to him. But it's no longer specifically about what's going on with the food that makes it a barbecue. But I thought it was a good representation of what makes an American barbecue. And a lot of the time it's, people are feeding you that you're not really that familiar with, and they're going to feed you their style of food.
What they decide is barbecue food.
It was very funny, very funny scene. I think my favorite was the hand, Vicky with the hand. That was the thing that's put it over the top, the scene.
Yeah, good scene.
Yeah. That's my number four, Brian. What do you got there?
Number three for me, a film you have not seen. Mm. In fact, I decided this will be on our short list, my short list of...
Hold for plane.
Oh, the plane. Yeah.
I'm just leaving doors open. Like, I've not been closing doors or windows. Remember how crazy I used to be about it?
Yeah, I used to hermetically seal.
Until I hear a complaint from one of you guys that it's like really ruining the show, we're going to be comfortable as far as temperature goes on.
My number three...
Stop looking down, please.
Sorry. My number three is a film you have not seen. However, I have added it to my short list of movies we should watch as a watch-along.
Okay.
I kind of feel like the sweet spot is ridiculous movies, absurd movies, movies that lend themselves to the visual, of course. I'm talking about Varsity Blues.
Mm. Mm. I believe I have seen this.
You really?
I think so. I get it confused with a movie that got in trouble because they're like one of the pranks there or one of the things they were doing for rushing or something.
Necessary Roughness. No. The program.
I get the Varsity Blues and the Program confused quite a bit. They're both very similar movies in my head. Do I need to see this? Go ahead with the...
No, this is not a good movie.
Oh, then...
But it's fun and perfect for a watch-along.
Oh, for a watch-along.
Yeah,
because
this is an absurd film. Mm-hmm. And the barbecue scene really encapsulates that absurdity. So... James Van Der Beek is the backup quarterback.
Okay.
And Paul Walker is the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. And their dads are like best friends. So they're frenemies. So they're having a barbecue in the backyard. They're in Texas. And the alpha man, Paul Walker's dad, whose house it is, decides, he's like, man, remember the good old days playing football? Hey, son, hit me with the right butt nook on three. And he runs a pattern and, Paul Walker passes him the ball. And then he's like, an argument ensues about who should be the starting quarterback amongst the dads. Mm-hmm. Then they say, well, let's settle this right here now. Y'all remember William Tell? And he puts a beer can, a Lone Star beer can on his head. He's like, son, knock the ball off my head. Mm-hmm. And Paul Walker throws a perfect pass and knocks the can off. And they're like, now your turn. And Van Der Beek's like, Dad, this is stupid. He's like, just do it, son. Be a winner. And it's everything that makes this movie absurd. It's over-the-top characters, things people would never say or do, melodrama, and the dad puts a beer can on his head, and he's like, come on, son, be a winner. And mocks James Vanderbeek, who was rejecting all things Texas football culture, even though he's on the team, throws a perfect strike at the bridge of the dad's nose.
On purpose?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Well, it's not explicit.
Ambiguous?
You get the idea that it's on purpose.
You got. You weren't looking down. You said, idea.
You get the idea that it's on purpose.
But you got to get that checked out.
I know.
You get the way. But it's not like you're not sure.
It's pretty. Well, like, we'll see it.
We will.
When I
we're gonna watch it with the watch along.
That's okay. Right.
It sounds very similar to my own experience with playing football. And
oh, then maybe you
being
see
forced
some,
into being a quarterback and. Yeah. Not wanting to do it at all, but having a dad who was like forcing my. Am I gonna like this Vanderbeek character?
Be a winner, son. Mox is the hero of the film.
Oh,
he's
is?
Like the Kendall Roy.
Yeah, well, you think Kendall Roy is the hero of? You might not be wrong. I don't know. Who knows? We'll see.
We'll see.
I think it's devoid of heroes, to be honest.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm talking about the old Succession over there. All right, number. good pick, Brian. I have no context because I don't know if I've seen it. If I have it at all, I do not remember.
What was that?
I don't know. Maybe a little karma for talking. I'm not talking shit. I just know the way my brain works. If I don't bring it up in the moment on air, like I said, I can cut all that. If you have, I don't. You want me to cut all of it?
Avery should cut it.
He's not going to. Should I?
No,
I can cut it.
I don't care.
Okay. Plus, you know, maybe it'll get listeners to have you get checked out as well.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
I want to. But maybe that's karma. I just breathe in like a hair from my microphone into my throat.
Oh, whose voice is fucked up now? Oh,
that's right. It's me. Atticus just this morning was like screaming, yelling at me to drink water because my voice was very raspy when I grew up, when I woke up this morning. Drink some water, Eddie. Just
synapses.
Like I was scaring him because I was so hoarse. Please, Daddy, please drink some water. I'm like, all right, buddy. All right, number three for me. Jeez, we're trucking here, Bri.
Let's do it.
All right, last week. Or 2 weeks ago on the program when we were doing irresponsible gun, you know, toting scenes.
Gun handling, yes.
Gun handling scenes. We all forgot to include Goodfellas, where Tommy was with Spida. Two separate scenes. Two separate shooting scenes. Both scenes could be considered, they're kind of
there's
space in between them. Yeah. They are paired. I'm not forgetting about Goodfellas this week. Oh, no. The Goodfellas Italian barbecue scene is so good.
It is so good.
And instead of, you know, the American hot dogs and hamburgers, they got the Italian sausage and it's like in the ring.
That's right.
And
it's a spiral shape.
All looks so good. And they got the wise guys out there. One guy just standing there, his shirts. He's just got no shirt.
He's just got suspenders.
Just suspenders. Exactly. And you got the VO there from Hank Hill, who's kind of explaining one of the most explicit, interesting points of the entire movie, really, about what Goodfellas are and what the mafia is and what they do. And he just breaks it down so succinctly and so simply, and it's such good writing because he leads with what the FBI never understood, and that just makes everyone perk up. Like I want to know what the FBI didn't know, right? And then he continues with a very simple explanation of what the mafia does, which is just they're the police
for wise guys,
for guys who can't go to the actual police. So, but they're all just sitting around, and it's just peak Scorsese. I mean, am I saying anything that anyone doesn't know already? I remember back during COVID, and we couldn't gamble on movies because new movies weren't coming out of the theaters, and we would gamble on what percentage of the listenership
have seen.
Yeah, Goodfellas. What do you think? Not that we'll ever know, but
95%.
I'd say 99. Who's listening to this that hasn't seen Goodfellas?
I only said 95 because it would be like 19 out of 20. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm.
I was always wrong. I always guessed too high.
You always guessed too high.
I always guessed way too high, and it was shocking. And it hurt a little bit when I would hear. You're probably right. It's probably like 92, 93, 95. Oh. Plus, every year that goes by, we got younger listeners.
New
who like
younger people.
Because it's 1990.
Welcome, kids.
33 years ago that movie is. Oh, my God. It might be like 70 or something. 70% of our audience has maybe seen Goodfellas.
I think it's on.
If you have never seen Goodfellas, you are for such a treat. I'm so jealous of you.
Email Anderson and ask him how you should watch it.
I do that. Like, I was looking at the poster, I think just like yesterday when I was researching for this a couple days ago. And like I think the poster on Amazon, you see De Niro, maybe you see all three of them, but then there's like on the bottom half of the poster, there's just like a little snub-nosed, like 38 special looking gun or something.
Oh, really?
And I was imagining like, cause it's not really good representation for what the movie is. Mm. And I was imagining, like, looking at it, going, like, yeah, so that's what my dad likes. He likes that kind of that movie. That movie's supposed to be special. Trying to imagine what I would think it was if I didn't have a reference.
Sure.
I wasn't impressed.
All the boomers tell me it's great.
I wasn't excited to see it. I can tell you that when I put myself in that mindset, I'm like, fuck this Goodfellas, old shit. Oh, but you'd be wrong to think that way.
That's right.
That movie will ever, forever stand up.
Dive in.
It might be one of the first fun, like, classic, well-received movies. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Because before, it's like you got the Citizen Kane over there, you got the old Godfather and Godfather 2.
It certainly pops. Like, for example, like a movie like Rocky, right, which is really crowd-pleasing, is very slow by today's standards.
It is slow.
Goodfellas pops.
I mean, what... Rocky, I guess, there's a lot of popcorn in Rocky, too. Rocky as well, I should say, because not to be confused with Rocky 2. But I'm talking about really, really well-received, thought of as like one of the best movies ever made. And Goodfellas is in that conversation with the snobbiest of critics, right? They will put Goodfellas up there. And it might be the first one that comes along in history there where it's that high up and it's that enjoyable and you can laugh and... just it be entertained.
Maybe aside from like Disney films like Pinocchio, you know what I mean? Consider classics. All right. No, but I'm agreeing with you.
I mean, I've never heard anyone like, you know, do Citizen Kane, Godfather 1 and 2, Pinocchio. Like, right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Casablanca. These are not fun movies that pop. They're great movies.
Yeah. Casablanca's another good example, yeah. All right. What's your number?
Maybe Strangelove? Oh, that's a little more subtle.
Yeah, I don't think that Strangelove would make lists. I was talking about Strangelove with my buddy Paul again just last night. Congratulations again to Paul Harper. Adding to the world. Congratulations to my buddy Brian Border for getting very old along with me.
So congratulations all around.
Yeah.
They're due.
All right. What's your number three there, my friend?
I did number three. It was Varsity Blues.
Number three? You started this?
I did Final Destination, Overnight, and Varsity Blues.
All right, let's take a quick break.
Break. I still love you, babe. Let's just start with the big purchase of the week. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes it makes sense. Someone got themselves a Behringer X-Touch USB soundboard. Basically what we have here with the Rodecaster, but far more technologically advanced, it appears. Certainly more capabilities. Thank you for getting that and tapping on Amazon banner. We appreciate you and your support. All the things purchased on the Amazon banner link that exists atop AndersonandBryan.com. Someone got two rolls of 3M heavy-duty mounting tape, True Cable Cat 6 riser cable, 1,000 feet of it. So good luck with that. Also a gravity transport bag for wires. Maybe the same person. Possibly the same person.
Does it defy gravity or is it just called that?
I would imagine because it's so light, maybe it appears to defy gravity. That's the idea behind the nomenclature.
You ever try one of those gravity blankets?
No. What is a gravity blanket?
Oh, Jesus Christ. What are you, Howard Stern over there?
What is a gravity blanket?
He just belches in the middle of like a sentence. That's what Stern does. It's just that they're really, really heavy weighted blankets and it makes some people who have like a lot of stress and stuff feel comfort.
Interesting. No, I have not, although I like the idea of that. I thought they were called like weighted blankets or whatever. Gravity blanket makes sense. Bindso metal locker, a full-on metal locker was purchased. Park Tool bike inflator as well as Park Tool bicycle wheel holder. Most likely the same person. Adjustable height, active learning stool, Fever Tree premium ginger beer. Oh, get the good stuff, you guys. Fever Tree makes a good tonic. Makes
good stuff.
Yeah.
It is. I don't know.
It's like the high-end mixologists use that shit. Hogar Labs dehumidifier. Yahi Tech coffee table with hidden compartment. It's a coffee table where the lid, the top just comes off. Like it's on a hinge. And you can like store kids' toys or whatever in the actual coffee table.
Yeah.
It's very, very good use of space.
I bet you put stuff in there and you don't see it for years.
Probably. Good garbage dust. Giro Agilis road cycling helmet. Two Next Pouch car jump starters.
I'm pretty sure you nailed it.
These are not words. Allnuru, Allnuru, kitchen shelf armor. Midwest tool and cutlery. Seamer. That's under the category of nippers and snips.
Right. Careful, Brian.
It's a real word. And Midwest Tool and Cutlery Seamer Tong. And we've purchased
Tong.
Vivo Home Blue Garden Bird Bath Superior Pump Utility Pump. Dragist Ice Maker. Genuine Joe Towels.
I had an ice maker for a while because our ice maker broke in our last house and I didn't want to deal with
it. You had like a desktop one or the
countertop one? Yeah, it was like countertop one. And it worked for a while.
Was it the little pill ice or was it like the big chunks?
You could pick whichever one you wanted, yeah.
Christy likes the little pills.
Yeah.
She thinks once we get an ice maker like that, we'll have made it.
Oh, you think that, yeah. That's all it takes?
That's all it takes.
Can't you get one right now? It has to be a part of the fridge.
Yeah, it has to be built in. All right. Yeah, sorry. ResMed Mirage FX replacement nasal cushion for a comfort gel. Matt, how dare you? It's for a CPAP machine.
Sounds like your nasal is on a cushion.
Samsung Galaxy S Pen Fold Edition. And finally, going to nail the post right here. Pull up boys potty training pants.
Oh, I miss those. I miss those days and I miss getting those.
I know, just pull upable underwear.
I just pulled a Brian. It's dark outside right now in your neighborhood and some dude just went rollerblading by like he didn't have a care in the world.
Don't like that.
Just rollerblading right by. You pay very good property taxes. Very high property taxes, I would imagine.
Maybe, I wouldn't know.
Pay property taxes up the butt. I got a rollerblader going through my town. All right, All right, here we go. Here are the movies that were clicked through. This is the last time I talked at y'all. Rope was clicked through, which is one of my favorite, maybe dare I say, my favorite Alfred Hitchcock movie. I love that Rope. Love it.
Favorite Alfred Hitchcock movie?
I think it might be.
It's a deep pull.
Is it?
Well, I mean, deep in the sense that it's usually Vertigo or Psycho or, I don't know, Rear maybe.
Mars Attacks was clicked through as well as Machete. Cape Fear. I don't know which one, but Cape Fear was clicked through. Mm-hmm. Open Range, hey, that just came up on the old Cinematics. So the director of Sisu suggested that they all watch Open Range. Once Upon a Time in Mexico was clicked through, as well as The Tenet. Edge of Tomorrow was clicked through, as well as Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. Career Opportunities Upgrade. Fuck to the S with the upgrade. Fuck to the S. A Star is Born. I don't know which of the four was purchased or clicked through, but A Star is Born was clicked through. As well as The Addams Family. Once again, not sure which one. The Social Network. I didn't know exactly which one that was. And Social Network was clicked through, as well as Missing. I think there's a couple Missings that came out recently.
Yeah.
I don't know which one this is. Is this a John Cho one, or there's another one?
Is that Searching?
Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves was clicked through, as well as To Catch a Killer, which is called Misanthrope in all parts of the world, except for here, domestically, it's called To Catch a Killer.
Not a good title.
Not a good title, but either way, I'm glad that somebody clicked through, because that is it's a very good movie. Guy Ritchie's The Covenant. I gotta see that. So far, that's I have the most regret about missing that one so far this year, so I'll have to catch up with that soon. Uh-huh. Amelie, I did not miss Fuck to the S with Amelie. It's fantastic. How to Blow Up a Pipeline. Harry and the Hendersons, Hell to the S. Yeah, I gotta say that because the kids. And then From Hell It Came, Targets. Fuck to the S with the Targets. And
Targets.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and all of his holes.
Oh, that's right. Well, a human being has six holes.
He always wanted to have holes, that little pink fella. And maybe his wishes were granted before it's all over. All right. Hey, thank you very much for clicking through. Hey, bye-bye.
Hey.
Back to the program.
All right.
For the fourth year in a row, Dawn is partnering with iHeartRadio for Can't Cancel Pride, a campaign that has raised over $11 million for the LGBTQ+ community. Dawn continuously strives to celebrate visibility and inclusivity for all, and that means supporting amazing organizations like Centerlink, providing safe spaces where over 52,000 community members go each week to receive critical and life-saving services. Dawn is there for your home or your home away from home. So visit can'tcancelpride.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the show. I'd look up something real quick because the number two for me, it's a film I assigned to Anderson almost 9 years ago to the day. Late May 2014, I won gambling apparently, and I assigned you. Do you remember? Not a great movie, but certain movies are not good, but there's a good movie inside that you can see. It's like, there's a good movie there. There's a good movie trying to break out.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work, but the bones are there.
Right.
Remember K-Pax?
Yes, I do remember. I don't remember you assigning that to me.
Yeah, I signed that to you.
Bananas,
2014. He had a banana, husk and all.
Yeah.
Yeah. K-Pax features a barbecue scene. Jeff Bridges plays a psychologist or a psychotherapist who admittedly pulls a very unorthodox move and invites his new patient, possibly psychotic, to his backyard barbecue.
I don't know that happens very often. Was there a barbecue scene in What About Bob? There had to have been, right?
There must have been.
Didn't occur to me. Nothing popped in my mind until this very moment. That's one of like.
Yeah, yeah.
How it works is like you'll think about like fun movies that should have them, and then you search, and sometimes you come up with nothing. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling we come up with nothing because neither one of us came up with it. All right.
In K-Pax, Kevin Spacey plays a man from outer space. According to him, he is an alien visiting Earth, and he's brought to a mental hospital where Jeff Bridges is his doctor, and Bridges takes a liking to him and invites him over to his house for 4th of July barbecue. Prote is his name, Spacey's name. He charms everyone. Everyone likes Prote, especially the children and especially the dogs. I don't know if you remember this, but he has the ability to understand what the dog is saying. Mm-hmm. The dog is barking and he's interpreting.
I remember very little about this movie. This sounds a lot like What About Bob, though. It's making me want to watch What About Bob the more I hear you talk about K-Pax. So I like that because I like wanting to watch What About Bob.
It's interesting. It's not my intention at all.
What's happening? It's a bycatch. It's like a bycatch.
There is an unfortunate moment when he freaks out when the children get a little too close to some sprinklers, and that is revealed later to be perhaps a remnant of his human life, perhaps a part of his psychosis. We don't know. It's ambiguous.
They don't answer that question for us.
They don't answer it clearly.
What if all of school is just ambiguous from the time you're like in kindergarten?
What's the answer?
Whatever you think it should mean.
What's your interpretation of this math problem?
Oh, I've heard things, dude. I was talking to all sorts of teachers because I was up at camp, you know, which turned out to be a reunion.
Oh, sure.
I was talking to teachers. Every single one, I'm not naming names here, but every single teacher I talked to that was in the public school system is furious.
Really?
And just feels trapped and is just miserable. With the curriculum that's being shoved. I was talking to a kindergarten teacher and they're like, yeah, they're making us teach Picasso to kindergartners. And we have to say,
tell us a little bit about Picasso this year. He's a first grader.
Like they have to like, not just like, you know, this is art and like, but like, what are your thoughts on it? And like write something about it. And she's like, my friend of mine who was telling me about it. And she's like 99%. There's like one or two gifted kids in there who like want to go along. But the rest of the kids are just like picking their nose. And it's just absolutely, that's just one account of many, many accounts that I heard. Very interesting stuff. All right. I don't know. Where did that come from?
K-Pax.
But why did I say that?
What if school is ambiguous?
Oh, what if all school is just ambiguous? Well, what do you think it means, Scarlett? Yeah.
So yeah, K-Pax is one of those movies that I'll admit is not very good. It's not great and it's not even good, but there's some good stuff in there. It's just waiting to break out.
Yeah. And pretty much every movie has at least a 3-minute sizzle reel, together. Like that's
ironically,
it's called a trailer.
A bad trailer. I watched the trailer yesterday.
Oh, that's funny. That is ironic. Hey, this just in. What about Bob? No barbecue scene that I could find. I did find the dinner scene, of course, and that actually I think made my top five dinner scenes that we did some time ago.
How did you search for that?
I don't know. How do you think I might have searched for it, Brian?
Just Google.
You're actually asking?
Yeah, how did you do it? Did you look at IMDb and our keywords?
YouTube. What about Bob barbecue scene? So and that's not maybe the most scientific way, but you know, while I'm doing a show here and producing and pushing buttons and trying to, you know, make things go. Mm-hmm. All right. Where are we? Right here. Number two for me.
What about Bob?
Oh, this is a good one. I'd be kind of surprised, a little disappointed if Oh, look at that. My number three and my number two, both 1990. Ooh. Easy, Andy. Easy. It's a good year for barbecue scenes and films. I got to tell you that 1990 because you got the Goodfellas over there. And then you got Edward Scissorhands with an amazing barbecue scene. This is satire. This is what a twisted mind such as Tim Burton in his prime would think of as a suburban gathering. A lot of barbecues, we didn't really even give a background. I would have liked to have maybe kind of looked into a little history of the barbecue. Like
interesting.
Yeah, like where it all began. Like the first... the first like years where like people actually started having things in their backyard of the suburb.
Yeah, it feels homes. Very American, but I know like the gauchos in South America used to like grill on their shields. Mm-hmm. You know, and they would skewer the meat and they'd grill on their shields.
Oh, that's interesting.
Kind of early barbecues.
And there's like little vents in there.
Yeah.
Ew, like imagine like the grease and stuff going inside your suit, plus the stuff that's already in your suit when you take it off to cook on your suit.
On the shields.
Other shields.
Yeah, what do you think I said?
I thought I was thinking like the arm, the body armor for some reason.
The chainmail.
Foolish. No, not the chainmail, but like the actual chest plate and maybe like the helmet.
As far as I know, it was on their shields.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. All right. Like those authentic shields that I saw when I was in Iceland?
The ones you took, yeah. off the wall.
Edward Scissorhands, just a great scene. It's so much fun for so many different reasons. It's taking a look at what a barbecue would be in an ultra suburban community, and all the gossip and all the ladies coming over who wanted a piece of this new Edward Scissorhands, who doesn't, you know, belong in their neighborhood at all. And they're like all kind
of
like
a curiosity.
And he's over there and he's talking to the dad, and he's over there at the grill at one point, and he's got like his scissor hands are being used as shish kebabs. Mm-hmm. And all the moms in the neighborhood are coming up and feeding him. They all want a piece of Edward Scissorhands, and they're talking about, you know, like what the if his hands would be cold or hot. The things that they could undo, the damage they could do, perhaps, you know, they're getting a little randy over there talking. Racy. Yeah.
So blue.
That's my number two is Edward Scissorhands. Like if you were talking to somebody who had no idea what a barbecue gathering was, this would be, and I don't know if it's a tropey thing, and I guess it probably is more tropey and unrealistic in movies as it is in real life when you have a barbecue, because every barbecue I've ever been a part of, everyone knows each other and it's usually like a party throwing. Right. It's not like, maybe it was back in the 50s though, where it's like the neighborhood comes over.
Oh, sure. Everyone come over, you can meet the neighbors.
People you don't really even know, yeah, you're getting to know at this barbecue.
But interesting.
I've never been to one like that, where it's just like, hey, if you live in like within a 2-block radius, you're allowed, you know, invited over.
Yeah, the closest I probably came to that was in college, like, you know, doing like a barbecue at the frat house.
Terrible.
I mean, meet
people. Awful.
Meet people.
Meet people?
Meet people.
It works on two levels, though. And some meet cutes as well.
I'll tell you what. My number one is one of your 1990 films.
No.
It is.
One of the ones that I already did?
Yes.
Is it The Goodies?
It is.
Yeah.
Goodfellas, number one. It's fantastic. First of all, this is a barbecue I want to be at. The sizzling, you notice the sausage was spiraling Boiled. On the grill, but the middle was the cast iron skillet with all the peppers and onions. Mm-hmm. They're good there just stirring the peppers and onions to go with the perfect.
They know how to eat.
Grilled sausage sandwich, or they might say a sandwich. Mm-hmm. But either way, like it's a great scene because it's like you alluded to, it's exposition, it's crucial exposition to the film.
Some of the best, maybe, in the whole movie.
But it's also an amazing tableau of like that time and those guys and the relationships. And, you know, so much is said with just a nod. You know what I mean? There's Pauly nods. And are you going to play a clip?
No, don't mind me. I'm doing many things over here. Right?
I thought you were going to play some good films.
No, I wish I could. Oh. Sorry.
Pauly nods, and then the other guy nods, and so much is said, but just a nod. You know, probably some sort of union deal was just struck right there.
You know what? I feel like we all got to see. We all got to. It's too much, right?
It's only a minute long.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, you talking about it and like whetting the appetite. Like, we just here we go. Here we go.
All right.
For a guy who moved all day long, Pauly didn't talk to six people. If there was a union problem or, say, a beef in the numbers, then only the top guys could meet with Pauly to discuss the problem. Everything was one-on-one. Pauly hated conferences. He didn't want anybody hearing what he said, and he didn't want anybody listening to what he was being told. Hundreds of guys depended on Pauly, and he got a piece of everything they made. It was tribute, just like in the old country, except they were doing it here in America. And all they got from Pauly was protection from other guys looking to rip them off. And that's what it's all about. That's what the FBI could never understand. That what Pauly and the organization does is offer protection for people who can't go to the cops. That's it. That's all it is. They're like the police department for wise guys.
Say that again, because I didn't.
There it is, and young Henry Hill being dispatched to relay some information.
You know, what I was thinking when I watched this clip earlier this week is Pauly's method of business is so far removed from how I like to do business. And I think a lot of people like to do business. And I was wondering if anyone modeled their business tendencies off of like that scene and Paulie in particular, where they keep everything secret and they keep all the information.
Only one person knows.
Cause I don't like meetings per se. Like the idea of having a job where like you're getting pulled into meetings, and I see my wife who's pulled into meetings all the time, but like having creative meetings and like sounding boards and trying to like figure out it. It's the best. It's like the more minds in the room, the better. And that's totally against every way that Paulie went about business. Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
They wanted as few people to know as possible.
All right. That's your number one,
That's number one.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's a very good scene, but you got Edward Scissorhands above it.
Yeah.
It's a great scene, remember?
It's a great scene. I left it off.
It pops.
What are you going to do?
A lot of color. Pops.
I needed a lot of color.
And some of those scenes, some of those shots in Edward Scissorhands, it is a bit of a masterpiece, that movie.
Underrated.
All these years later, I think, people think of Tim Burton. I don't know if it comes up super quick. Maybe it does. I don't know.
There's no Batman.
You know what else? And it's not on your list, so I can talk about it on my also-rans. But and then I'll get to my number one here in a second. I'm going to play a clip. But I had a realization this week that I was completely unfair to... It's going to sound absurd that I'm even bringing this up. To you, every week, we all know that. But Adam Sandler's canon and Billy Madison came out, and I absolutely was head over the heels. I loved, watched it numerous times in the theater. I just couldn't get enough of that Billy Madison. Every movie that came out after didn't hold a candle to it. And I kept wanting Billy Madison, never got Billy Madison. Watching clips from Waterboy this week, I'm like, there's a lot to love just in that one little scene.
Very fun.
I bet I would have liked it so much, all of his movies. If I were to go back and watch them now, I bet there's so much for me to love there. But I was just at the time going, I want more Billy Madison.
Well, I imagine Atticus will be in the sweet spot for that.
It's a little above his pay grade. But look at what I'm doing too, Brian. You realize the hypocrisy here?
What's that?
I'm like, I wanted more of the same.
That's true.
And now I'm tired of more of the same. I will not watch your reboots, prequels, and sequels.
You weren't willing to let the man grow.
I guess I've grown. All right. So not my number one, and this is my number one, and it is a little more esoteric as far as like how far back it goes, because we go back to 1956 was my number one.
Boom.
And it was going to be on the list, I thought, because I love the movie Giant so much. Oh, I love Giant.
I'm gonna say Lolita.
Giant is fantastic. It's Rock Hudson and James Dean.
You try to get me to watch this.
Elizabeth Taylor. It is very, very long, but it does what modern day series, shows that have five seasons to do arcs, it does it in 3 hours and 20 minutes or whatever, with two very strong characters in Rock Hudson and James Dean. And the scene I'm going to play is just the best example, the biggest example I could find of a barbecue in all the research that I did this week. And those, like I said, like I teased, there's a bit of a explanation of where the word barbecue comes from early on in this clip you're about to hear.
Please.
And what it is, Elizabeth Taylor's character just recently married Rock Hudson's character. He owns this like ranch in the middle of Texas. Like they make mention that their closest neighbors are 50 miles away, right? James Dean is one of their neighbors who he's not a part of the barbecue, but he is illustrated and portrayed in his car sitting probably 50 yards away, just relaxing, being cool guy, James Dean. This is my favorite James Dean performance, even though there's only three to choose from, but I love him in this. And so it's a bit of fish out of water. She's meeting everybody. Do you remember that scene in Buffalo 66 where she's being fed tripe?
Kind of.
Yeah.
At the dinner table?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Vincent Gallo just being the absolute, Billy Brown being the absolute disgusting, horrific human being that he is in that scene. He keeps making her eat more tripe when she's already doing him a favor. Anyways, it's a little bit of that in that. We're seeing the fish out of water. She's fancy. She's from back east, I believe. Forgive me, it's been a number of years since I've seen this. But we're seeing her react to Texas culture.
Oh.
And what's more Texas than barbecues and vice versa, right? So here's the clip I'm going to play. I have to play it directly. It's not a clip from the old, I won't say where it's from, I don't want to get us in. All right, so I'm just going to play a quick.
Please.
It's fair use. Here we go. And it's coming here in a second, but the dialogue will be coming.
Best food you ever ate, honey. This real Mexican barbacoa. That's where we get the word barbecue.
I wish you could see this, Brian. So what they're doing is they're unwrapping
a
cow head.
Calf's head.
That's a calf sack.
See, we take and wrap it in clean white cloth and wrap it tight in canvas and put it down in a pit of hot mesquite coals. It stays down there 18 hours or so, and boy, them brains are sure sweet.
So it's brains, and they're sure sweet.
Honey,
I don't think I'm really terribly hungry. Must be the heat.
Coal is hot. Wait till July.
And then the brains come out of the head and put
it on
the
plate. Eat it while it's hot!
And she faints. In absurd fashion, she faints. It is of its time, 1956. But yeah, it's got the number of tables out there and the pastor, and, like, you know, the whole town is there. It's just, it looks like authentic old. And plus, this thing takes place in like the 18 somethings, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s. So it's a fantastic barbecue scene.
All right.
Brains coming right out of the calf's head.
I'm looking at Wikipedia, and yes, it does come from the word barbacoa. I wish I had done this research before, like Anderson said. But yeah, traditional barbacoa involves digging a hole in the ground and placing some meat inside of it.
Isn't that strange that that's how they cooked in Hawaii, too, with the luau, right? Indeed. I'd imagine a bunch of cultures learn that you can cook meat well in the hot ground with just baking in the sun. Those are like early, like, clay ovens almost.
Well, I think there was some fire element underneath, you know, coals or
whatever. A lot of time they put the coals, and I don't know, and with the luau's they do. Never been to a luau.
No,
I've been to one luau, and it was in Thousand Oaks, California.
So that is not a traditional.
Some drunkards, and there was a lot of meth and cocaine at that party as well, and they were trying to have a luau in their backyard.
Oh, how'd it go?
The meat was raw.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
I would expect the other way. Overcooked.
I didn't partake. I saw them pull out the pig, though, and it was not well cooked. I think they ended up microwaving it.
So traditional.
All right. So, do we have the listener list?
Yes, we do.
You got it? Okay, cool.
Well, I know that it exists.
Well, can you read it for us? That'd be nice. We might not have it. Do we have it?
It's in Avery's notes. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
List.
You took care of us. All right, good. Oh, I stepped all over the listener's list. I'm
so
sorry.
So many
guys.
Suggestions, over 30 different scenes. Number 5, Office Space. Good barbecue.
It's a good barbecue. Plus, it's where the infamous O scene comes from. So,
and it's also fun because it's describing minimum security prison to the two friends.
And it's also that's also where we don't jump to conclusions, right? A lot of stuff happens in that barbecue scene, right?
Number 4, Waterboy. Number 3, Fast.
Wait, settle down with the Waterboy. Remember what they were cooking in the old Waterboy, like baby gators?
You know, gators,
like baby gators, like not cleaned or anything. She just got them. Kathy Bates just got them on the grill. Gives each of them get their own gator. Looks good, Mama.
Number 3 is all Fast and Furious films.
No, that's not an actual choice. You can't have that as an actual choice.
Number 2 is Goodfellas. Number 1, fried green tomatoes.
Fried green tomatoes. Yeah, it came up in my research. I could not find a clip for that one. I did read about that one, and I do kind of remember it, but not well enough. It's been probably 15 years since I've seen Fried Green. You've seen that Fried Green, right?
When it came out.
It's so good. It's one of those movies that just goes down so smooth. You forget about how good it is.
I got to see it again.
I need to see that scene again.
Much like Edward Scissorhands. I saw him when it came out or on video or whatever. And
really? I've seen the Edward a number of times, so it's always going to be free. I need to show that to the boy, unless I already have.
It'll freak him out.
I'm doing that. I'm like, hey, buddy, we're going to watch a movie this week. It's called... It was Harry and the Hendersons, which somebody just clicked through, actually.
That's right.
And he's like, I already saw it, Dad. I'm like, no, you didn't. What happens? Then he like tells me like key points. I'm like, I did watch that with you. Because I'll put it on, and then I'll do work, you know, while sitting on the couch with him. So
you should watch What About Bob?
With the boy?
Yeah, with the boy.
Nah.
You'd enjoy that.
He's not there yet.
Bill Murray's fun.
Okay, I don't want to get into like psychosis with the boy just yet, you know? All right. Also rants for you, Briber. I bet most of them have probably been mentioned at this point.
Yes, but
I think I have a couple. Neighbors, dude. Oh. Neighbors has it's really quick, but it's a great little clip. And Neighbors, by the way, I was looking for the clip because if it was bigger and longer and uncut.
Neighbors, the John Cena movie? No, that's Blockers.
No.
The well,
it's Seth Zach Rogen? Zac Efron and Rogan, like everybody's in it, right. It's the frat boys who live next door. And like I was looking for that scene because it wasn't on the old YouTubes over there. So I was scrubbing through it like on HBO Max or something. That movie is so, I remember loving it at the time, but like that's a movie that you love at the time and then you kind of just move on with your life and forget about it. But it is so good. There are so many funny like little moments.
I had forgotten completely.
My God, is it just really, really good. All right. So there's a quick little a barbecue scene. Of course, the frat boys are barbecuing right up front, and Rogan's just like watering his lawn like the old man. And Efron just kind of looks over at him, and he takes his hot dog and he makes it look like his dick for a second and twingles it. That was the entire scene.
Fun.
Yeah.
The Burbs is on my also-ran list. Pain and Gain, which is a very funny scene of idiots trying to dispose of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, Boys in the Hood. It's a very long and it's an important scene, but it didn't really feel like a fun like barbecue scene, right? And then we got, what else did I have? Baskin. There's a lot of barbecuing at Baskin, if you recall. Actual barbecuing. And then Hachi at Dog's Tale is a good sweet scene in that, as well as Terms of Endearment, which is kind of in the same ballpark as Fried Green Tomatoes. Chick flicks that work, bri.
There you go.
Ever seen that Terms of Endearment?
No.
Mm, it's good.
That one's before my time.
Tear a jerker. That's what Atticus used to call Jillian and I when he'd get really mad. He'd be like, you guys are being such, I'd be crying. He's like, you guys are being such jerkers. I'm like, if you only knew what that meant. Today, he gets, I'm not going to say it. I'll tell you later.
Tell me.
Yeah, it's just dumb stuff. It's so much fun having a six-year-old. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it's a good time.
He had to get into his gi, right?
Sure.
Because it's karate time, right? He has karate and hockey. And, you know, a lot of the time we're like up against it with the clock. So he gets home and I'm like, come on, buddy, put on your gi. Put on your gi. And then he's like halfway there and he kind of pauses, you know, six-year-old, especially boys, I think, God. You know, like, yeah. So
no, Tess is no better.
And then I thought of that. I don't know if you're aware of the Blink-182 album. It's called
Take Off Your Pants
and Jacket. So I'm like, take off your pants and jacket, buddy. And I was just, you know, I'm just kind of like in the kitchen doing my own thing. And I just said the title of the album thinking it's funny. And he's like, Dad, I already took off my pants. And I'm like, oh, Christ, whatever. It's hilarious, though, because he doesn't hear like the inappropriateness of it at all.
Double entendre.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
All right.
And I'm just happy that the wife's not in the room, you know, because I'm like, shit, she's going to catch me. Like, just because it's not like pre-planned. I'm just like, you know, putting together a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and just talking, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Fun.
I regret saying all that whole story.
Well, keep it in, okay. Avery. You want to gamble?
Yeah, let's do that. We got notes, right? That are going to help us along.
I got it right here.
All right, cool.
Fast X was the movie we gambled on last week. You insanely said 68. I said 49. With 231 reviews, the actual Rotten Tomatoes score is 54%, making me the winner.
Mm-hmm.
Winner.
The cheating continues.
There was no score, actually, if you remember last time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no score.
Well, and Fast X. And what is the actual score now?
The actual score is 53. No, 54.
54. So. Wow. And you went and saw it knowing that that's interesting.
I don't want to hurt the show.
Yeah, it's true. I'm glad that you, look, if you weren't going to, truth be told, if you were banning it and I was banning it too, it would become a whole, this would become a different show.
It's true.
I don't want to.
Would you fall on the grenade at that point and gone to see it?
I mean, I made a proclamation, Brian, right? I'm going to try and stick with it. But yeah, somebody has to have seen, to have at least talked to Avery about it.
Well, this is a tough season for you then, because we have another reboot coming out this week. We're gambling on The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, there's no, you should have zero interest in this other than taking Tessa, and she doesn't have to see it. I mean, with you.
No, she very much wants to.
Okay, well, that's great. You can have a nice little you know, family outing. Do you got to bring it to the program?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be hurting the program.
I heard Billy Burr talking about how great Super Mario Brothers was, but he doesn't have much of a reference.
You're about to find out.
No. You're not going to review that movie like all these weeks later.
Maybe.
You're hurting the show.
I doubt it.
Oh, I know it.
What do you think for The Little Mermaid? You got a number? You got a number?
Is this critic proof?
Sometimes movies...
We were admonished for using critic proof a while ago.
That. Sometimes movies that go for that critic proof angle can be punished a little bit.
I think it's... I know nothing. Remember, the first trailer was on during the Oscars. And I'm like, oh, I missed that movie.
Was it the Oscar or the Super Bowl?
No, it was because I was with you and I wasn't with you. And you're like, it hasn't come out yet. This is like a teaser. I thought it had already come and gone. I was delighted to have already missed that wave.
Wave.
Yeah. All right, I got a number.
Do you? Is 100 too high?
Are you pumped for this? Do you know who directed it or anything?
Yeah, Rob Marshall.
Oh, Jesus
director
Christ.
Director of Chicago.
Yeah.
And I also know that it's 2 hours and 15 minutes, which feels long for a PG movie.
Maybe it's got a lot to say.
Maybe it does.
Have you watched Splash with Tessa yet?
I have not, but we watched the actual Little Mermaid animated film many times.
Have you going to watch Splash?
Probably not. I mean, someday maybe.
Did you like Splash?
Sure. I don't know that Tess would love it.
You don't think so?
Maybe.
Why not?
I haven't thought about it in years.
Slippery little suckers.
No, that's...
There's a mango on my shoulder.
Wait, Slippery Little Suckers is a pretty woman.
Is it Pretty Woman?
Yeah.
Well, there's something happening. She like eats a lobster, like shell and all. There's a funny scene involving...
Yeah, like she digs into a lobster like in a fine restaurant.
You're right. Yeah. Conflated the two. Mm. All right. I got a number. What do you got?
All right. Let's go with First Instinct.
All righty. On three. One, two, 83.
81. Oh.
All right. Do we have a number?
Well, actually, I have no...
Push refresh. See if it's changed.
I have no idea.
All right. RT. You said 81.
Little Mermaid.
I said...
Oh, wow.
Huh.
Oh, no.
What? Is this oh, no, because you're losing or oh, no, because you have to go see it? Which one is it? It's one of those two.
With.
Mm-hmm. How many votes?
Oh, that's the audience score. Oh, I think it...
Is it already out? Like in China?
Oh, this is the...
China's not releasing this.
Up. Interesting.
Oh, you're looking at the original?
No. The weird... Okay, sorry. I just Googled The Little Mermaid 2023. Google lists a Rotten Tomatoes score of 40%. When I click on that to go to Rotten Tomatoes, zero reviews. And audience score of 55. But the poster is from the 19... I don't know what the fuck this is.
Are the... All
right. This is not right. This is not right. Hold on. I'm going to do something I never do. I'm going to go to the homepage.
Yeah, go to your homepage. I don't think any of this is really important in the grand scheme. I'm kind of curious, but Google can't be trusted anymore, right? Too much fucking around going on with the paid advertisement and getting your numbers in the algorithm, and you can't find what you really want anymore. It's getting more and more difficult.
Okay. Okay. We have a score. Google linked to the wrong, a rare mistake. I don't see this often on Google.
Tony, Google's less and less reliable.
They linked to the wrong movie. It was like a sequel from 92. This one already has 101 reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Score of 70%.
Hmm.
70.
Sounds about right. I was going to say 71, but I feel like I've done that like the last 3 weeks in a row. So now that I finally got away from it. Jillian put $5 on black in Vegas. Hit 26, no, on red, hit 26, which is black.
Okay.
So she asked Atticus, it was very illegal, I know, but he was like, you know, we were just outside the casino and she was like right there on the, and she goes, what number, should I do red or black? And he says red again. She's like, are you sure? So she puts her last $5, 26 again.
What are the chances?
What are the chances of that?
Going all a run.
I know.
That was a good pull right there.
That was a pretty good pull there. She screamed very loud too, Jillian, but it didn't go in her favor. All right, let's get out of here.
All right.
70, huh? How do you feel about that? Is that good or bad?
I feel good that I'm going to win gambling, but...
Yeah, it's actually kind of a perfect score for you. It's better than average, and you're going to win gambling.
I bet it's fun.
Yeah? You think it's fun?
I bet it's fun.
I bet there's a lot of singing. A lot of singing and swimming.
There's actually more singing in this movie.
Is there going to be any dialogue, or is it just all the swimming and singing?
Dude, it's 2 hours and 15 minutes.
I can't remember. Does Chicago, do they take a breath and talk, or is it like a full-on opera?
There's dialogue, but it is sung.
Oh, well, so they don't take a break. It's all the way through.
It is set to music.
What's worse? I mean, I guess your brain can kind of be like, all right, this is just the language they speak in this universe, right? Like everyone sings to communicate.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I think it's worse when they're actually just talking like you and I, and then all of a sudden you can feel it coming. It's like, oh no, here it comes. Yeah.
The music swells.
I think if I had to choose one or the other, it would be where it's just a constant because my brain would just kind of flip this. You know what I mean? It's like where you wear those glasses. Mm. You ever hear about that? And it makes everything upside down.
Oh, sure.
And then after a while, your brain will flip.
Well, because the image you see in your brain is upside down.
Okay, but what happens is your brain adjusts, and then like you get to the point where you can ride a bike and stuff. And then you take them off, and everything's upside down. How weird is that?
I wonder if...
How weird is that, though, Brian? I feel like you're not tracking.
No,
that's fucking bizarre.
I completely understand.
But what's interesting is like it took like three or four hours for people's brains to flip when you're wearing the glasses from it to be upside down or flip the brain. I'd be scared. Like, is it ever going to go back?
Am I going to walk into a wall?
And then take... Well, not even that. Like, if your brain is actually changing something so mad, rewiring something so that everything you're seeing upside down is now right side up when looking through these glasses that make everything upside down, took like 3 or 4 hours for the brain to adjust. And this is going off of something I read or learned in school like 20 years ago.
And how do you feel about that?
When you take the glasses off, everything is now upside down without the glasses, which would scare the fuck out of me. But what was interesting is that it only took like a half hour for the brain to readjust back to what it used to be.
Makes you think, we'll never know this, but do babies see things upside down? Because their brain hasn't trained their eyes.
Well, do they see upside down or right side up when they're in the womb? I mean, it's just like, yeah, that's a good one. So does gravity?
Babies don't use their eyes in the womb, right? They're closed.
But you would think, without hearing about that little interesting study, which, knowing me, like, maybe that never even happened. I wonder if I read about that study and they're like, it was a hoax done by hippies in the 60s. I have a lot of it. You very aptly said that I'm a perpetual spreader of erroneous information.
That is true.
But I mean, this is a prime example. Like I heard habitual. I heard this. That's super fascinating. Stuck in my brain forever. And then a lot of the time, the most interesting things that you hear in passing, they're interesting because they're not true.
Have you seen Lesnar Art this week?
No, but I want to just go back to your brain can accept, after a while, your brain will accept the fact that that's how they communicate, they sing. So it's not the constant jarring of like, oh my God, here they go again, they're about to start singing, right?
Yeah, like Hamilton is a great example.
Yeah.
Yeah, was singing throughout.
I've not seen The Listener.
It's very good. Ludwig van Beethoven, Bacon strikes again.
What is this? Oh, that's pretty good. That is fantastic.
We come to this place.
Oh, I love seeing her face looking at that. And they're looking back at her. Good stuff.
Do you think
Ludwig.
Do you think there's a world?
I will be suing you, though. You'll be hearing from
me. Do you think there's a world
attorney.
Where Nicole Kidman is seeing your film?
Probably not. Probably not. But I think that I would love to see a list of some people, like recognizable names that have seen it.
I was just about to say, are you aware? Who's the most famous person you're aware of?
I'm aware of none.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's not like I went searching. It's not like I have alerts for my name like you do, so who knows? But
you
say
that it's a bad thing.
Searching for your name and having alerts pop off. It's not a great thing.
Well, it's like part of your morning routine. Some people get up and they stretch. Some people drink coffee. I immediately Google myself.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In the shower?
Oh, no, before the shower.
Right.
Thank you to our listeners for downloading and listening. Appreciate you guys. Hope you enjoyed Top 5 Barbecue Scenes. Ludwig, great job as always, my friend. Check it out over at AndersonAndBryan.com. Light Out for the Territory is our featured artist this week. Check them out, AndersonAndBryan.com. Lots of good stuff going on over at Patreon. Check us out at patreon.com/thefilmvault. AndersonAndBryan.com is the website. Anderson and Brian is the TikTok. Anderson and Brian is the Instagram. The Film Vault, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube is The Film Vault Podcast. Lots of good stuff going on out there. Thank you to all of our Patreon listeners. Mike Cole, thank you for keeping the gambling stats. Help me look up, I was able to see exactly when I assigned you K-Pax. Thanks to Giovanni for the long emails. Appreciate that. Mitch Burns, for all you do. Eric Kath, killing it over on YouTube.
George M. Stratton was responsible for the upside down glasses experiment, and yes, it is all true. It is all true.
It is all true.
Yeah, so stop your, I know you're probably already five paragraphs in there, Gio, but got it.
Send it anyway.
Didn't get much from Gio this week. Maybe he knew I was grieving.
I got a few.
All right. Hey.
Hey. Until next time.
What else? Not until next time. Just yet, Bri.
What else we got?
We got to ask our friend Kayla to please wake up. Kayla!
Come on, Kayla.
Kayla.
I know you dozed off there and Anderson was waxing my upside down glasses.
That was the most interesting part of the entire program. Could be argued, especially now that we know it's not erroneous. Because I bet what percentage of our listeners do you think knew that about that experiment?
I'm going to go really low. I'm going to say 18%.
You, if I was wearing upside down glasses right now, you would look almost normal. You got
like, a light bulb hanging from the ceiling.
Got the beard there, and you got the no hair up top. You have a big, big chin.
That's right. Look, I have like a fuzzy head and clean shaven up top.
That's right. We do it for Van Gogh.